is the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets, yet jack wagons. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir who has a rainbow of colored utensils at his disposal there. Lundy, why do you have so many highlighters in hand? Did you have one of those nights?
No, it's because, like, I got, we got college basketball, we got college football, we got NFL, I got NHL, I got NBA. I've gotten to the point, Brad, where the only way that I can keep this crap straight on the television show is I've had to start using different colors, which just so that I can remember what the hell I'm talking about. Just because we are in that time, thankfully, college football, coming to a conclusion here. Yeah. But what happens is I'll wind up with my notes and it'll say Boston. And then I have to stop and go, well, son of a bitch.
Boston?
Is it the Bruins? Is it the Celtics?
It could be the Terriers.
Right. Could be anything. So I have here in the office, and this isn't even all of them. I've got, like, we could just start sniffing these, by the way, if you really wanted to make the podcast fun.
Good call.
I do miss back in the day, though, Brad. You remember the ones that smelled like fruit? Remember those markers we used to use in school? Smelled like grape, licorice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody
oh, yeah.
remembers those. If you're of a certain age, you remember those kinds of things. But that's why I've got a plethora of Sharpies in front of me, is because I can't keep this shit straight, man. I need color coding.
Yeah, the former educator in me applauds you, my friend, for the color coordination there and the organization on your cheat sheet. This is the Fade 5 Podcast, by the way, presented by Suavecito Tequila. And Lundy trying to highlight after about a half a bottle of the Añejo, probably some squiggly lines there in the process. It's a Friday here on the broadcast. I had a banner night, if you followed yesterday's show. In the Thursday night affair of the last act for Amazon and Thursday night football in a game that was far more competitive, I think, than any of us thought, with Joshua Dobbs under center for the Tennessee Titans and no Derrick Henry in the backfield. But Dallas took care of business. College basketball was going to be way to go, Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii, putting the cherry on top of the sundae of a three-leg money line parlay at +263. So let's get back after it here. And I'm going to say, choose your own adventure, my man. Our college football pick to click is normally what we call it. Sometimes we call it the NFL pick to click. I say, you say whatever you want to say, whether college, whether NFL. What happens this weekend that is your favorite in either one of these brands of football?
I'll tell you what, Brad. I love you, pal, and you always make me go first. And
I do.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to make you go first this time you are on a
heater.
So with that in mind, I think you should go first, my friend, and then I will. I'll bring up the caboose.
These are sure to be shrivelly in nature, the outcome there, because I'm bound to turn frigid after the heater will be extinguished. But let's start off in the NFL. Let's get some plus money on the board. Let's do a four-leg money line parlay. So all these teams got to do is win. All these teams have some playoff interests at stake. So give me Detroit against my Chicago Bears, who've been competitive losers, and I stand up and applaud them for doing that. It's leg number one. Give me Jacksonville, leg numero dos, on the road against Houston, which could be a very competitive game, but Jacksonville wins their last 2 weeks, and they are into the postseason. Give me Green Bay, who is controlling their own fate. They're at home in Lambeau Field there against Minnesota. And then the last leg, give me San Francisco against Las Vegas, who is in divorce proceedings right now with Derek Carr, probably Davante Adams, and potentially Josh Jacobs as well. So Detroit, Jacksonville, San Francisco, and Green Bay all to win straight up, +295 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Meanwhile, in college, let's talk about the playoffs, and I'm going to go with TCU +7.5 against Michigan. I've watched the Wolverines several times this season, including that near stunner that my Fighting Line I pulled off late in the year. I've been relatively unimpressed with them. Now, defensively, they're outstanding on paper. They're only giving up 85.2 rush yards per game. McCarthy has been kind of up, kind of down at the quarterback position. Got no Blake Corum, who was done for the season after undergoing knee surgery. But Harbaugh in bowl games 3-5 ATS in his career. And I believe in TCU just has some kind of mysticism, some kind of unknown power to them to cover the spread often this year. 9-3-1 ATS, number 14 in total offense. And they're going to attempt to run down the throat of the Wolverines because they're averaging just 200 rush yards per game. And Kendre Miller has been outstanding. Whether you look at the surface numbers, the advanced data, Pro Football Focus, it doesn't matter. TCU is going to keep this in close. Hell, I wouldn't be at all shocked if they won this game straight up. And bonus time, early bonus time, Lundy. I say Miller scores the first touchdown in the game at plus 750. So there you have it. My picks a clicker in NFL and college. What do you got, hombre?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you, your four-legger makes me nervous in one spot and one spot only. And
Jacksonville.
It's Jacksonville because technically week 17 doesn't matter jack shit for Jacksonville. If they lose, everything comes down to next week. So Jacksonville is in the same boat that Tennessee was last night, where it doesn't matter. It comes down to next week's game. And so depending upon what's going on, you could see Jacksonville rest guys and things like that. So I will tell you that is the piece of your four-legger that you gave that makes me a little bit nervous. I am actually my pick to click from a NFL standpoint for this weekend. They have been putrid. They have been god-awful against the spread, but they're still in the mix in the NFC South. I'm going to take the Bucs, and I'm going to lay the 3.5 in the game. Oh. I think despite the fact that they are 3-11-1 on the season against the spread, I mean, they have been bad. But I think this is one of those against Carolina. I think this is one where you can buy low on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So that is my pick to click. I'm going to lay the 3.5 on Tampa. As bad as they have been against the spread, I still think that there's an opportunity for them. And then in the college football playoff, I know nobody wants to touch this game. I'll do it. Give me the stick. I'll poke the Badger. I don't even care. I am going to take Ohio State plus the points. I am taking the 6.5 with the Buckeyes. Both of these teams are marginal at best against the spread this season. There is 85% of the handle rolling on Georgia here on the spread. I'm gonna fade the money. I'm gonna fade the public. I'm gonna go the other way with Ohio State, which brings me to a really interesting bet. If you want to sprinkle something, Brad, how does plus 1100 sound to you?
My pants just dissolved in front of me. I absolutely love it.
I brought this one up on the TV show, my You Bet College Football Bowl special that we did for Altitude here in Denver. And in full disclosure, taped that show yesterday. It's going to air tomorrow morning. You can, on BetMGM, you can actually bet the exact outcome of the championship on January 9th. Folks, would anybody be surprised if all hell broke loose and we had a rematch of Michigan and Ohio State?
Well, the world's going to end if that happens, but it wouldn't be shocking at all.
It's plus 1,100 for you to say that Michigan beats Ohio State in the championship.
Really?
Plus 1,100 for there to be a rematch and for the Wolverines to do it again and beat Ohio State is plus 1,100. The lowest odds at plus 125 is for Georgia to beat Michigan. Not a big surprise, right? That's what a lot of people think is going to happen. But when you go into this weekend, the only time you can do these bets is prior to tomorrow because you're predicting the exact outcome amongst the four remaining teams. So, like I said, I don't know that it's going to happen. There's a reason it's sitting at plus 1,100. But I threw 15 bucks on it, Brad, just because I was like, screw it. Just in case something weird happens, I'll bet just a small amount for a pretty nice payout. So I just wanted to throw that out there. There's a bunch of others, by the way. You can get Ohio State to get their revenge. You can, I mean, there's all the different possible outcomes that you can imagine, including like for TCU to beat Georgia, which is like plus 2200 or something like that. But I just want to throw that out there. I know that our kickoff here to the podcast has been running long, but I thought that one was a ton of fun, and I wanted to throw that one out there. My money, frankly, is on Georgia to beat Michigan, but I did decide to sprinkle it plus 1,100 because I got seduced by the juice.
Oh, I get seduced by the juice indeed. If Michigan-Ohio State happens, dig that damn hole in your backyard. I'm telling you, it's going to be apocalyptic in nature. With that on the board and in the books, let's get after it with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, numero cinco is maybe a name you've never even heard of here in the player prop market. He is a member of the Carolina Panthers. That is none other than Tommy Trimble. Ooh, are you scared? I am not. On the over 9.5 receiving yards. Lighter juice, minus 110 at BetMGM. I absolutely love this matchup. And you look at Trimble, and he's a role player for this Panthers team, admittedly. But we've seen his role increase here with Sam Darnold under center the last couple of games. He has run at least 10 routes in 10 of his last 13 contests. He has logged at least 2 targets in 4 straight games. In his last 2 efforts, he's gone for 20 yards and 18 yards. And all I need is 10 yards to cash a ticket here. And you look at Tampa, they have struggled against tight ends the entire season. 4.9 receptions per game, 49.0 receiving yards per game. 19 guys have gone over this 9.5 receiving yards number, including Tommy Trimble back in week 7. He had 1 target. He had 1 catch, but that 1 catch was meaningful because it went for a 29-yard touchdown. I would say he's going to splash 6 again, but I think he is going to get into double figures here in receiving yards. So, Lundy, fade or follow Tommy Trimble. Do you got the shakes here? Over 9.5 receiving yards, minus 110 at BetMGM.
Well, I've always kind of got the shakes, Brad. Not going to lie, little early morning shakes for those of you that are fans of the music. I'm going to follow on this one, but mostly it's because if we had done this a couple of weeks ago, I would have been convinced you were making names up, like drawing names out of a hat, like, you know, hey, I found this guy in the phone book and just decided to put a prop on it just to see if anybody was paying attention. So I'm going to follow. This is a really low threshold. You already talked about the numbers that have been there for him. So no Trimble on this one. A name you might not know, but a ticket you can cash.
Oh, let's cash it with the Carolina Panther. Take the over on Tommy Trimble.
Number four.
Numero Quattro is a name I'm sure Lundy has actually heard of. He's been a pretty decent fantasy asset this year, and a lot of you in title games across fantasy land, if you're still alive, good luck in trying to acquire that trophy. And if you still have your tree up from Christmas, you can still put it under the tree and open it up and say, oh, look at what Daddy won! Kenneth Walker the Third. I'm taking the over on 16.5 rush attempts at minus 115 at DraftKings. Seattle taking on the New York Jets at home. Seattle, a team right now north of 2-1 odds to punch their postseason ticket. I like those odds quite a bit because they got the Jets at home and they've got the Rams at home. Need some help elsewhere, but a team that could certainly sneak into the playoff picture in the NFC. A lot of that's going to be because of Walker. Now, Seattle, the 10th lowest run percentage of any team in the league. They're calling run just 38.8% of the time. And yes, Walker has fought through ankle and back setbacks, but last week got back to his old ways. 26 rush attempts in that game, and he has logged at least 17 rush attempts 5 times since week 6, and the Jets are giving up over 4 yards per carry to the running back position. So in a game in which I believe Seattle's going to be more 50-50, run-to-pass split, Kenneth Walker the Third, he may crush this. It could be 20 rush attempts for him at home against the J-E-T-S, Jets. Taking that over, 16.5 rush attempts, minus 115 at DraftKings. Lundy, fair to follow.
Following all day. By the way, I think this one opened actually at 15.5. It's been bumped up. I'm with you. I think he's going to be pushing the 20 mark just because of game script and because of opportunities. I'm a little bit concerned about anything associated with the rush total only because of the injuries on the offensive line. but the rush attempts, sort of like a difference between going with receptions as opposed to yards.
Yeah.
Same kind of idea here with running backs. If you've never actually sort of dipped your toe in the pool of these kinds of player props, I like this one a lot. Like I said, I think they're going to keep trying to hammer. I am a little bit worried about the offensive line. Frankly, I'm worried about both offensive lines in that game because they're both dealing with a whole lot of BS and not a whole lot of stellar advanced analytics in terms of opening up holes. But that's not going to stop Seattle. It's not going to stop Pete Carroll from trying to run the ball. So take the over in this one. And like I said, it's already crept up once. I do think he's going to be at 19 or 20 by the time it's all said and done. So folks, even if prior to kickoff, this jumps again, if people keep hammering it, go ahead and play it. Like I said, I'd go to 17 and a half and then I'd stop. But this is, I think this is a really solid one. This is what Seattle's going to do all game long.
Crank the Pearl Jam in the background and roll with the Seattle running back, Kenneth Walker III.
Number three.
All right, Newberg Trace on the Fade 5 today is a prop you're probably overlooking, and you shouldn't. Really should be focused on it front and center, and that is Isaiah Pacheco, and I think I spelled Isaiah correctly. He's missing an A, I know that, but I'm taking the over, not on rush yards, not on rush attempts or any time touchdown, but on receiving yards. That number just 10.5. Minus 110 at BetMGM, and this could be a one-play payday because when Pacheco gets a check down or design screen from Patrick Mahomes, he obliterates dudes in the open field, a power runner extraordinaire who's always falling forward and finishing runs. He has logged at least 80 total yards in seven straight games. Last time he faced the Denver Broncos, who he's matched up against this week, back in week 14, three catches for 23 yards. So he raced past this very low threshold. Look at the Broncos this season, 5.3 receptions per game, 38.7 receiving yards per game. 16 running backs have gone over this number. And getting back to Pacheco real quick, he's averaging 10.2 yards per reception. He's catching 91.4% of his intended targets. He's run around 8 to 10 routes per game. So honestly, Lundy, I think all he needs is one catch on a design screen. He will catch the ball. He will motor in all the way up the field. What's your price for flight? Well, he's going to be have a price for pounding, I think, in the end here against the Broncos, who everybody is crushing in the short field game, out of the backfield, as a rusher, as a receiver. It doesn't matter. Pacheco pays off. Give me the over, 10.5 receiving yards, minus 110 at BetMGM. Good sir, fade or follow?
Price for pounding?
Yeah, price for pounding. That was the follow-up song from Night Ranger.
It sounds like, never mind. I'm not even, you know what?
It sounds like an advertisement at certain locales in Vegas. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It sounds like one of those, you know, one of those cards the guys on the street are going to give you in Vegas. I'm just, wow. Price for pounding.
I got nothing left.
Look, members of the Broncos may be taking to social media to defend their quarterback. Not quite Terrell Owens style. He's my quarterback. Mm. But they're definitely coming to the defense of Russell Wilson. But this team is checked out. Give me Isaiah Pacheco all day long. I will take the over on this one. I do think it'll be a one and done payday for him. By the way, you did spell it right. He's unusual in that he only has one A in there compared to the standard, use the air quotes here, spelling of that name. But you did spell it right. And I know that because I've used him so many damn times on the television show that I've written his name way too many times this year. You know why? Because the son of a bitch cashes.
What's your prize for flight or pounding?
Number two.
All right, numero dos here on the Fade 5. Let's dive into the SGP market, shall we? Give me Jared Goff, and he certainly has not been that. 255-plus pass yards, and Jared Goff, two-plus passing touchdowns. Both of those events occur on this SGP, all golf all the time, plus 115 at DraftKings against my Chicago Bears. And you look at my Chicago Bears, 7.72 pass yards per attempt, only allow 214.7 pass yards per game, however, 18 total passing touchdowns. And Goff back in week 10 on the road there at Soldier Field, 236-1 in that game. So we fell shy of both of the needed numbers here, but he is thrown for at least 255 and a couple of touchdowns in three of his last four games. He has achieved both marks five times this season. He is top 10 in deep ball completion percentage and also respectable number 13 in red zone completion percentage. The Bears pushing, vying, and go Houston Texans. Please knock off Jacksonville. If I lose that four-leg Moneyline parlay on that leg, I'm all right with it. I'm totally fine because the Bears have a shot here at the number one overall pick. They don't want to win. However, they're going to play hard probably for about 3.5 quarters in this game. Goff will still have the foot on the accelerator. He'll get to at least 255. He's got to throw for at least two passing touchdowns. They're in the friendly confines at Ford's Field. And if he hits both those numbers, again, plus 115 at DraftKings, Lundy, fade to follow this, SGP.
I like this one. Goff always makes me nervous. I mean, come on. There's a reason we call him Goffle. It's pretty likely that you can get completely and totally hosed up by this dude at any given moment. It can happen. You can be cruising along, right? You're just chilling, arm out the window. Yeah, exactly. And then Jared Goff will be that guy that is in the far left lane who suddenly decides he needs to exit. And he's just, he's cutting across traffic. And he's causing, the problem is he actually makes the exit. He just causes a pileup behind him that he has no idea that he caused. That's Jared Goff. I'm loving the pantomime you're doing right now. Those of you that are only listening to the podcast and haven't caught us on the YouTube channel yet, Brad is like playing his own game of charades right now, as I refer to Jared Goff driving off the side of the road. So I like this SGP. I do. I would play it. But if Goff suddenly screws us, am I going to be surprised? Nope.
Honk, honk, roll with Jared Goff.
Number one.
Numero uno is a team that I mentioned in my Moneyline parlay at the top of the show. It's the Green Bay Packers, and they're a team that could improbably make it to the playoffs, and largely because of the venerable graybeard and Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to take the over 1.5 passing touchdowns in a supremo matchup against Minnesota. Juice on this, minus 115. At Caesars Sportsbook, you look at Rodgers. He has reached two passing touchdowns in a game nine times out of 15 contests this season. Now, back in week one, and that was an eternity ago, against Minnesota, it went for just .195 and zero touchdowns. That's when Minnesota was a respectable pass defense. That no longer applies to this unit, giving up 7.90 pass yards per attempt, 296.1 pass yards per game, 21 passing touchdowns, and six multi-TD passers. Though with the fact that Rodgers is top six in red zone accuracy, according to playerprofiler.com, with or without Christian Watson, it doesn't matter to me. I could throw it to Al Lazard, Randall Cobb, Robert Tonyan, Aaron Jones out of the backfield. He will throw for not one, but two touchdowns in this game against the Vikings, as Green Bay, I believe, wins this sucker straight up. So, Lundy, fade or follow at Lambeau Field. Rodgers over 1.5 passing touchdowns, minus 115 at Caesars.
Take it to the bank. I'll take Aaron for a couple of touchdowns in this one. Again, I think you're getting a little bit of a discounted rate right now because of how they've been playing. Discount double check. Take it. I'll take the over on the passing touchdowns. This is a solid play. Really, I feel pretty good. But I also hate the fact that I agreed with you on all five because that
oh, we're screwed.
Yeah. We're completely and utterly hosed. Like, if anybody hasn't noticed in the video, Brad and I are both wearing a Lion Eye gear right now. Mine, because this was what my son got me for Christmas. My son, who, if you're new to the pod, is a senior at Illinois, which is why he sent me the gear. But yeah, Brad and I basically showed up dressed like twins. So we are completely hosed on every pick we're going to try to make today. We're screwed, dude.
It's because Illinois got right against powerhouse Bethune Cookman last night. Way to go, Illini, and handle the action there. Get the cover as well at home on the spread. Speaking of additional spreads, it's bonus time. Lundy, across the smorgasbord of sports, what else do you like here on this Friday or this weekend?
Let me throw one more in from an NFL standpoint on the player prop front. Give me the over on Justin Fields' rush yards at 70.5, 70.5. Last time they played Detroit, he ran for $147. So I'll take this number at less than half of what he did in the last go round. And if I'm not mistaken, Brad, you may know this better than I do, being the Bears honk that you are. He's only he's less than 200 yards away from the season mark for rushing yards. So he may have a little bit, they may be losing, but he may have a little bit of an incentive to see if he can set that number himself.
Yep.
Maybe he's got, who knows? Maybe he's got some kind of contract bonus, which would give him, even more reason to be able to rock and roll. Let's talk about the bowl games, because we're getting to the point where college football is coming to an end. You and I won't be able to talk about it on the pod. So let me throw a couple of things out in this one. The Duke's Mayo Bowl. How about that? Anybody need a sandwich? That one is this morning. So depending upon how quickly you listen to this, I'm playing the over in that one at 46.5. Two teams that know each other really well. Obviously, both used to be in the ACC. That's Maryland and NC State. But NC State's coach is offensive coordinator is gone. Tim Beck is now the head coach of Coastal Carolina. I just think defense is going to be optional in this one. I will take the over at 46.5. Going to later on this evening, Tennessee and Clemson, Brad, in the Orange Bowl. Go ahead and board the Cade Klubnik train. His Heisman campaign starts tonight for Clemson. Trust me, he is going to be very much in the conversation with the Heisman for next year for the Tigers. So in this battle between Clemson and Tennessee, I will take Clemson just because I think they're going to try to showcase this kid as much as possible. If you saw the story on social media with all the debacle, with all the airlines and everything because of the storm, his parents basically said, screw it, and rented a car and just started driving to Miami to be able to be there to see his debut. And then one other one for this afternoon in the bowl games. Again, depending upon when you listen, hopefully you can jump on this one in the Gator Bowl, sticking with the Florida theme, Notre Dame and South Carolina. Both of these teams, like they're missing, we're missing personnel, but most importantly for the Gamecocks, who are down basically their three best wide receivers, one of them to a knee injury and two of them to the transfer portal. Plus, South Carolina's offensive coordinator just basically was like, "Ah, I'm out of here." He took the same gig, not even a promotion. He took the same gig at Nebraska. So he's out of there as well. Give me Notre Dame minus the 2.5. That's all the Domers are laying is 2.5. I think they win this thing by a touchdown plus. I think they win this thing running away against South Carolina this afternoon. So give me that one in the Gator Bowl. Brad, I yield the floor. What do you got for us in the BT bonus time?
To be honest with you, I think the Gamecocks show up. I grabbed them at plus 3.5, the roster maneuvers overall in that Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. So you and I will agree to disagree on that one. Get one more bowl game selection on the board for you. I'm going to take the under of the Music City Bowl between Kentucky and Iowa. It's at 31. And you may say to yourself, oh, God, I got to smash the over. Who cares? No. you look at Kentucky, their starting quarterback, Will Levis, not playing. So they're down their backup quarterback in Destin Wade and their four-string running back in this game in McLean. You know that Iowa is not going to have their starting quarterback, but that's really an upgrade in my estimation.
Iowa's on their third stringer.
They're on their third stringer. Yeah, I was getting there. They haven't even got their second string guy available in Padilla. So ultimately, they're going to turn to the third stringer. That could be an upgrade across the board. Ferentz has been great in bowl games, 8-5-1 ATS. It's all about defense, defense, and defense again for both these teams. Kentucky, number 18 in total D. Iowa, number 4 in college football in total defense. Give me the under and the Music City Bowl on 31.
Real quick before you go, can I give you another one that's fun on that one? At BetMGM, for Iowa to win by between 1 and 6 points is plus 333.
That is very sexy. Get seduced by the juice on that note. Let's go back to the NFL. I got one more player prop, and it's another OGP in the Battle of the Golden State between the Rams and the Chargers. I am going to take Cam Akers, 65-plus rush yards, and Cam Akers on an anytime touchdown. Both those events occur plus 150 right now at BetMGM. Akers, the snap share is skyrocketing. He played 82.5% of the snaps last week. He has scored a touchdown in 3 of his last 4 games. He has hit the yardage mark of 65 or more in back-to-back games. The Chargers, very soft in the interior defensively, very well documented. 4.90 yards per carry, 104.8 rush yards per game, and 3 touchdowns on the ground they have allowed in their last 5 games. Just their last 5 games, and they have given up on both thresholds in the same game. 7 guys have gone for at least 65 on the ground and scored a touchdown again in the same contest. College basketball, it's also going on tonight. Let's get a 3-leg money line parlay on the board. Give me Lipscomb against Stetson. Give me USC on the road at UW to score the win. And give me Morgan State against Hartford. And why on earth am I backing Morgan State? Hartford is the worst team. 363 out of 363, according to Park Torvik, according to KenPom, whatever advanced analytics site that you like that is out there. They're north of 350 in adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency. Morgan State, meanwhile, netting over 37% from downtown. They have more firepower in a game in which there's going to be a capacity crowd of like 3, I think. They're all going to be related to the players, the coaches in Hartford. Morgan State takes care of business. USC, meanwhile, just too much size. I think Peterson and Boogie Ellis as well can pick apart the zone defense of the Huskies. And Morgan and White inside, especially prolific as well. They're netting 52.6% from 2 are the Trojans on the season. Washington, meanwhile, nearly number 200. In 2-point percentage, the Trojans get the victory on the road in Seattle. Then Lipscomb is one of the better mid-majors out there. They beat Belmont. They beat Chattanooga. They're 54.9% shooting team from inside the arc. And Stetson, number 340 in adjusted defensive efficiency. So Lipscomb at home takes care of business. So all 3 legs hit. You're looking at a plus 230 right now at DraftKings. And I threw in a boost because they have those available at DraftKings as well. And I got up to plus 310, Lundy, on that with the boost. So, again, Lipscomb, SC, Morgan State, all just to win straight up. And then one more game. I like Pitt tonight, plus 6.5 against North Carolina. Pitt at home. I think this team under Jeff Capel is playing outstanding basketball here of late. They have won 8 of their last 9 contests. And since December 1st, they're number 38 in Bartorvik. Meanwhile, Carolina number 41, and Carolina is playing better, but Pittsburgh on the season, number 34 in effective field goal percentage offense, are shooting over 38% from way downtown. Carolina, they are 2-point dependent. They have a huge size advantage. There's no question about that, but the 3 ball is the great equalizer, and Carolina number 273 in 3-point percentage defense here in the month of December. Again, I'll take the Panthers at plus 6.5 on this supersize edition of the Fade 5 podcast. That is a wrap. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly? Also, follow us, Lundy, on Twitter. His free picks on a spreadsheet at Nate Lundy, and I do the exact same exercise. Follow me at Noisy Huevos. Have a splendid weekend. Enjoy all the meaningful football, whether college, whether NFL, and yeah, work in some of those college basketball picks to boot. And until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you.